This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Recording in progress.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom aleichem, baruchim habaim. Welcome everybody. We're continuing our shiurim on Sefer Devarim. The shiurim of Tav Shem Pei Vav are dedicated by the Israeli family. Lilei Nishmas Malka Bas Yosef B'Gan Eden Tehim Nuchasa. She should be Melitza Yishar for her family. Abias Gal Tzedek. The shiurim are also dedicated to Chosef Rosh Shleima for Nasan Ben Menucha. Tonight, the shiurim on Sefer Devarim are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umishpachta Lila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi, and Rav David ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Also dedicated by Mrs. Yehuda Herman, Lila Nishmas, her husband, Harab Shabsi Benish ben Moshe. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by Rav Yaakov Mizrahi. Had the pleasure of meeting him in Yerushalayim this past Sunday night. It's dedicated in honor of Rav Shabsi Benish ben Moshe and in honor of a newly engaged couple. One of the members of that couple happens to be my daughter. So they should have a lot of bracha and mazel. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by Rav Nati Klein in appreciation for the shiurim. Okay. Welcome everybody. We Agun Chodesh Elul is here, and for Elul, make sure you're well prepared with the mystery and the majesty. This is the first Art Scroll book. Now, if you want it in English, it's available in English. You could get it in Spanish. You could get it in French, and now it's available in Portuguese. So those are your options. Okay, here we go. This past Monday, since I had nothing better to do while I was in Eretz Yisrael, we spent the whole day up north. And we went, of course, I like to go to new locations. Each part of Eretz Yisrael corresponds to another chilek of Torah. And being in different parts of Eretz Yisrael gives you access to different areas of Torah. We went up north to many new locations, one of them being Yisroel's Kever. Actually, Yisroel's Kever is guarded by the Druze. Now, the Druze wear very dignified clothing, and they treat their holy places with great respect. And before you go into the area of Yisroel's Kever, they make sure you have no items on you that will desecrate the place. So, for example, if you have a phone, you cannot enter. You can't enter. You can't put it on vibrate. You can't turn it off. You can't bring it in. Those are your choices. It's better to daven at home than to come into the Druze sanctuary with a phone. And by the way, it's the same thing for Jewish people. So I need to correct something that I've been saying. For many months now, I've been saying, is anyone allowed to bring your phone in? Only if your mother is not Jewish, you could bring your phone into a shul. So I'm going to change that. Even if your mother is not Jewish, you can't bring your phone into the shul. So I just want to correct that. Shul means Beis Medrash, Shir. It's not possible to honor Hashem with Torah or Tefillah if you have your phone on you. And I know you've heard it 100 times. I'm going to keep at it until you actually do something about it. Baruch Hashem, many people have, and many people are going to. Anyway, one of the locations that we went to was Gush Chalav. One of the places that we went to was Gush Chalav in the north. There are many interesting kvarim in Gush Chalav. First of all, you have the Kever Reb Meir, the author of Akdamos. Actually, according to Seder Hadoris, it's Reb Meir Balanes. And the Kever that we attribute to Reb Meir Balanes in Tveria, according to Seder Hadoris, is actually in Gush Chalav. But that's a topic for a different occasion. We once spoke about that. Another Kever is Yoichoi. Actually, all the Svarim say Yoichoi, the father of the Rashbi, which is a little bit of a humorous way of saying it. Yoichoi, the father of the Rashbi, meaning Yoichoi, the father of Reb Shimon, is buried there. Yeah? Who else is there? The Navi Yoyal. And then the the Navi Yoyal. Even though your name is Pesach Yoyal, right? But no, yeah. You're on the Zoom. He's buried there. That's, you know.
I understand that. It's still very unique.
Yeah, so just clarify that. You know, so And then who else is buried there? Shmaya of Avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion. Now, the names Shmaya and Avtalion, we're just going to... Shmaya and Avtalion, you may be familiar with them from Perkei Avos. Their names are mentioned throughout Shas. And the reason why I'm speaking about it is, A, I was just there this past Monday. And it's actually related to this week's parsha. Let's begin with the Arizal. The Arizal taught that when you say the bracha of V'Yerushalayim Ercha Barachim Tashuv, V'Sishkam Sankashet Bartov, V'Chisei David Avdecha Meher L'Sakha Tachin. What does it mean? The throne of David, your servant, you should quickly establish. The Arizal, this is reported by Reb Chaim Vital in the Sefer Pri Yitzchaim, the Arizal warned us very greatly on a certain day that we went to the kever of Shmaya v'Avtalion. So here we learn that the Ari and Reb Chaim Vital would visit the kever of Shmaya v'Avtalion when we would daven there. And he told us again and again and again and again that we should mention in every single tefillah that when we say the words V'chizeh David Avdecha, daven that Mashiach ben Yosef should not die. There's a concept, there's Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. When you say V'chisei David Avdecha, you should have in mind Mashiach ben Yosef should not die. Who's going to kill him? Our Milos HaRasha. Okay? And Mashiach ben Yosef is called Kisei David Avdecha. David Avdecha is Mashiach ben David. Kisei David is Mashiach ben Yosef. And this is the essence of Chayim Sha'al Mimcha. It says in Tehillim, ask for life. You're supposed to ask for the life of Mashiach ben Yosef. Why? Because the Zohar teaches Mashiach ben Yosef will ultimately die. And we didn't understand what the Arizal was getting at. Why did every time we visited Shmaya v'Avtalion, he would tell us, daven that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. Daven that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. He kept on warning us again and again and again. Daven Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. We didn't get it. Only God knows the secret. And in the end, we figured it out. The Arizal died. Now, this is a very cryptic passage. It seems to insinuate that the Arizal was Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's why he kept on telling them, daven that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. But what I'm trying to bring out is that there are a lot of kvarim in Eretz Yisrael. The Ari and Reb Chaim Vital clearly visited the kever of Shmaya v'Avtalion. And that's a good intro to today's shir. And also, it makes me feel good because I also visited it this week, only a couple days ago. I think basically within the last 72 hours. Okay, so who exactly were Shmaya v'Avtalion? You may be familiar with them. They're mentioned in Perkei Avos. In Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yud, Yud Aleph, Shmaya v'Avtalion kiblu mehem. Shmaya v'Avtalion received the Torah from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. Shmaya Omer, Ehoi ves hamalacha, love work. Most people hate work. He says love work. Usnaas harabanos, hate, not usnaas harabanim. Usnaas harabanos, hate the authority. It's talking to Rabbanim and saying you should hate the aspect of authority of it. Don't become too friendly with the government. Okay, this is the teaching of Shmaya. Shmaya and Avtalion were the Nasi, Avbezin respectively. Now, in order to get the job of Nasi or Avbezin, what are the qualifications? Obviously, you need to be a Talmud Chacham. You need to be a Torah sage. What else do you need to be? You have to have good lineage. As we're going to see, it's a pasuk in this week's parsha. Take a look at number 8. Soim tasim alecha melech. You should place upon yourself a king. Asher yivchar Hashem lekecha boy. Mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. From among your brethren, you should appoint a king. What does it mean, from among your brethren, you should appoint a king? He has to be Jewish. Yeah, I need a pasuk to say that the king of the Jewish people should be Jewish. Don't take a guy from North Korea. Only someone who's Jewish. I need a pasuk for that. What does it mean, mikarav achecha? It means, seemingly, not gerim. Gerim converts are not acceptable to be a king over Klal Yisrael. And perhaps, does this extend to other positions of leadership? Can a convert be a president of a shul? He could get an aliyah, he could get shlishi, could he be the president of the shul? is that considered position in Klal Yisrael? There's a Rav Moshe discusses, can a woman be a president of a shul? Okay, now what we're going to discuss today is what about Shmaya of Avtalion? Who were they? The Gemara in Gittin says something astounding. The Gemara in Gittin says, look at number two, Mibnei Banav Shel Sancherev Lamdu Torah Barabim. From the grandchildren of Sancherev, they taught Torah publicly. Man Inun, who are the grandchildren of Sancherev? Shmaya of Avtalion. Shmaya of Avtalion came from Sancherev. Now that doesn't mean they were Gerim, but the first step is their origins were of Gentile descent. They came from Sancherev Melech Ashur.
They were brothers?
They were... No, actually, I don't have any information that they were related or that they weren't related. All we know is one was the Nasi, one was the Avbezdin, and they both came from Sancherev. Were they personally related? I don't know. I don't have any information that they were. Obviously, they must have been somewhere down the line. They both came from Sancherev. But no, I don't have information that they were brothers. What else do we know about Shmaya Vavtalion? Were they themselves converts? So there's a very interesting Mishnah in Horias. Hillel Oimer. Actually, this coming year, in the Yaradei Asher, we're going to be learning Hilchos Mikvais. There's a halacha that a certain amount of Mayim Shu'uvim passels a mikvah. If you don't have 40 sa, if you have a certain amount of drawn water in a kli, it passels a mikvah. So the Mishnah says in Horios, Hillel Oimer, Maloy in, the Ger says in, Aleph Yud Nun, Mayim Shu'uvim, 3 in of drawn water, Poislin HaMikvah. Why did Hillel say in and not hin? Ela Sha'adam Chayiv Loimer B'Lashon Rabbi. Hillel expressed it this way because he heard it from his Rebbe with an Aleph, and a person is obligated to say over what he learns in the same type of phraseology expression that his Rebbe says it. So if you're saying over the Shir, you need to give it an accurate treatment, okay? But that's a general principle, that you're obligated to say something over in the Lashon of your Rebbe. Comes the Rambam in the Parasha Mishnayos and Idyos, Shmaya and Avtalion were the Rebbes of Shammai and Hillel. Hillel and Shammai learned from Shmaya Vavtalion. Like we see in Avos, it says Hillel v'Shammai kiblu mehem from Shmaya Vavtalion. V'hoyu gerim, Shmaya and Avtalion were converts, the Rambam says. Not only did they come from Sancherev, they converted. V'nishar b'sfasam la'age sfas ho'iv dekechavim. And in their language, they continued, they were not able to drop the phraseology, the expressions of the Gentiles. V'hayu oimrim in b'makoim hin. They said in instead of hin. As the Tashbetz explains, that everybody knows that akum, there are certain sounds they cannot pronounce like a Jew could pronounce. For example, it's Hanukkah. So you say, no, it's Hanukkah. That sound doesn't appear, is not present in English. So they have a hard time expressing it. Tell an American to say Aresh, raw. An Israeli laughs at you. There's no raw sound. There's no raw. It's gutter, You try to say Aresh. You can't. You're not able to because you're an American. Americans don't know how to say Resh. So Akum cannot say the letter Ches. They can't do it. But the Tashbetz say they also can't say Hey. But it's because the real Hey is more guttural. And they can't say Ayin and Kaf. There's certain sounds that they're not able to pronounce. So Shmaya and Avtalion were Gerim. Because they were Gerim, they still preserve the Gentile articulation. And Hillel, who was a native Jew, he could say hin, but he didn't say hin. Why? Because his Rebbe said in. And even though his Rebbe wasn't really right, but Chayiv Adam Lomer B'Lashon Rabbi. Says the Rambam, this is what my tradition from my father, who got it from his Rebbe, and he got it from his Rebbe. In other words, the Rambam says, Shmaya and Avtalion were converts. And that's why They taught Torah with their original articulation and they couldn't pronounce the letter hey. And when Hillel said it over, he said it over in the way that his Rebbe said it over. By the way, the Tosfos Yom Tov also brings from the Bar Tanura that Shmaya and Avtalia were Geirei Tzedek. They were converts. Question, how in the world could they be converts? But they occupied the two most powerful positions in the Jewish people, Nasi, Av Bezdin, respectively. Shmaya was the Nasi. By the way, in Perkei Avos, whenever you have two names, the first name is the Nasi, the second name is the Av Bezdin. It's a very important yediya. Why is this so important? You know, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. Why? Because Beis Hillel was humble. They always let Shammai go first. Shammai Omer, Hillel Omer. And yet, in Pirkei Avos, which is the book of good midos, first comes Hillel and then comes Shammai. If the reason we paskin like Hillel is because Hillel always allowed Shammai to go first, then if it, in any book Shammai goes first, it should be Pirkei Avos. No, in Pirkei Avos, Hillel goes and then Shammai. Why? Because Pirkei Avos is listing the tradition of Torah, the Messiah of Torah. Nasi Avbez, then Hillel was the Nasi, Shammai was the Avbez, so it has to say Hillel first in Pirkei Avos and then Shammai. But the Tosfos Yom Tov asks the following question. If Shmaya and Avtalian were Nasi Avbez respectively, but how could they occupy those positions if they were converts? You know, the halacha is, can a convert be a Dayan? No. A convert cannot be on a Jewish court. So if they can't be on a Jewish court, how in the world could they be the Nasi and the Avbezdin? And says the Tosfos Yom Tov, look in Reb Lowi in Sefer Derech Chaim. Anybody know who's Reb Lowi? The Maharal of Prague is Reb Yehuda Lowi. And he says that even though there are those who say Shmaya and Avtalian were Mikahal Gerim, like it's Muchach in Gittin, or like it's Muchach in the Gemara in Yuma. By the way, very interesting Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says, one time the Kohen Gadol was coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everyone's following the Kohen Gadol home after Yom Kippur. And then everyone saw Shmaya v'Avtalian. So they left the Kohen Gadol and they started following Shmaya v'Avtalian. And they wanted to go follow Shmaya v'Avtalian, so they asked the Kohen Gadol, could we abandon you and go to Shmaya v'Avtalian? And he said, yeah, go to those Goyim. Go to the Goyim. And Shmaya v'Avtalian said, it's better that they should go to the B'nai Ha'amim, to Goyim, in peace. But at least we act like Aroin, who's Oyev Shalom, and not go to the descendant of Aaron, who doesn't act like Aaron. Meaning, better that they should go to Goyim, who act like Aaron, than go to you, Kohen Gadol, who doesn't act like Aaron. But this Gemara seems to indicate that Shmaya and Avtalian were Gerim. That's what the Kohen Gadol meant, go to the B'nai Ha'amim. But says the Maharal, you cannot explain that they were converts, because if they were converts, they couldn't be the Nasi and the Avezin. It means they came from converts back many generations earlier. But their mother had to be Jewish. Shmaya and Avtalian's mother had to be Jewish, so they themselves were not converts. But says the Tosfos Yom Tov, those who say Shmaya and Avtalian were converts are in great error. Now, who's he calling in great error? The Rambam. The Tosfos Yom Tov is citing the Maharal of Prague, who says that those who say Shmaya and Avtalian were converts are in great error. Look at the Maharal inside. Look at number 7. Some say Shmaya and Avtalian were Gerim. And the Maharal of Prague says, our sages push away that opinion. Because Chazal say in the Gemara Nivamas, all positions of authority have to come from a native Jew. Certainly the Nasi and the Avbezdin. Okay. Now, just as an aside, let's learn this Gemara Nivamais that talks about that all positions of authority have to come from native Jews. Okay, it's going on a pasuk in this week's parsha, so that's another reason I'm talking about it. Not only because I just visited Shmaya and Avtalian, and by the way, they send their best regards, okay? But also, that's one of the important topics of this week's parsha. Look at number 8. Soim tasim alecha melech. You should place a king upon you. Asher yivchar Hashem lekecha boy, mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. From among your brethren, you should place upon yourself a king. You're not able to put upon yourself a foreigner. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us the story of Rav Mori Bar Rachel. You ever hear of him? Rav Mori Bar Rachel. What's different about the name Mori Bar Rachel than names of other Amoraim you may have heard? What?
They're giving the mother's name.
Yeah, the mother's name. Since when do we say, you know, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Rabba Bar Nachmeni? You say, you know, Ruvain Ben Shimon. You don't say Ruvain Ben Shprinza. All of a sudden, Rav Mori Bar Rachel? Why Rav Mori Bar Rachel? Obviously, because his father's not Jewish. That's why we're giving. Now, Rava appointed Rav Mori Bar Rachel to a position of authority. So Gemara asks, but what do you mean? Soim tasim alecha melech. All positions of authority have to be from your brethren. Says the Gemara, since his mother was Jewish, so he is from among your brethren, even though his father was not Jewish. So this Gemara teaches us that at the very least, your mother has to be Jewish. Right? There are a lot of things your mother has to be Jewish. Let's say, we talk about anyone whose mother is Jewish has to eat shalashudas. If your mother is not Jewish, you don't have to. You could eat mezonos for shalashudas. You know? But let's say, even if your mother is not Jewish, just going to remind you, you still can't bring your phone into the shul. Okay? Because God's in the shul, so it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. Anyway, this is the source that if a ger cannot serve as a king, cannot serve in a position of authority. So therefore, the Maral of Prague and the Tosfos Yom Tov ask on the Rambam that how could you, Rambam, say that Shemayin Avtayin were gerim, so how did they become the Nasi and the Av Beis Din? So this question, right, that's a major question on the Rambam. Ad kedei kach, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, anyone who says Shemayin Avtayin were converts is erroneous. So we need to defend the Rambam. How could you maintain the position that Shmaya Vavtalin were converts and yet they were the Nasi and the Abbasin? So we come to the Magen Avos. It's a parish on Pirkei Avos from the Tashbates, the Rashbats. And the Rashbats also maintains that Shmaya Vavtalin were righteous converts. He proves it from the Gemara in Yuma, where the Kohen Gadol called him. Say, yeah, you could go to the Goyim. Yeah, go follow that the Goyim, Shmaya Naftalion. And there's another proof that they seem to be Gerim. We're going to put aside the question that the Rashbats asks. We're going to come back to it. And the Rashbats brings another proof that Shmaya Naftalin were Gerim, because the Mishnah says in Idyos, Hillel said Maloi in, and not Hin, because they wanted to adopt the Lashon of the Rebbe, who was originally an Akum, who couldn't pronounce the letter He. Another proof, this proof my friend Reb Nassim Waldler brought, but the Rashbats also mentions it, that there's a question. If a convert, if a woman who's a convert is unfaithful to her husband, do you give her the waters of the Saita to drink? If the woman has infidelity to her husband, and now we suspect her of adultery, do we give her to drink? So Shmaya Naftalion gave the Saita to drink, even if she was a Giyres. So they told Shmaya Naftalion, just like you, you're giving her to drink, even though she's a Geiris, because you're also Geirim. So that Gemara clearly indicates Shmaya Naftalion. In other words, Shmaya Naftalion says a Geiris drinks the waters of the Saita. And they said to her, because you're one of them, you're from that group, that's why you're extending the halachas even to Geirim. But you see from that Gemara that Shmaya Naftalion are considered Geirim. So the Rashbats offers the following explanation. He says, it's true, a ger cannot be appointed to any position. Not a dayan, not a Nasi, not an Abezin, and certainly not a king. That's if you have a more qualified Dayan. If you have a qualified Dayan, you cannot appoint a Ger as a Dayan. If you have someone who's qualified to be a Nasi or Abezin, you cannot appoint a Ger to be a Nasi or Abezin. But what if they're the most qualified individual to occupy the position of Nasi and Abezin? If they're the most qualified to occupy those positions, then we will definitely appoint even a Ger. The Raya is, listen to this, Shmaya and Eftalion were the Nasi and the Abezin. But if you remember, when Hillel came up from Bavel, do you remember the question they asked Hillel? They didn't know, do you bring a Karban Pesach on Pesach that falls out on Shabbos? Who were the Nasiim at the time? The Nasi didn't know the halacha whether Karban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. Who is the Nasi? The Bnei Beseira. And Hillel reprimanded the Bnei Beseira. Hillel said, the halacha is Karban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. And you know why I know and you don't know? Because you were lazy. You didn't serve Shmaya and Eftalion. Wait a second. That means at the time, Shmaya and Eftalion were no longer the Nasi and the Abezdin. The Bnei Beseira were the Nasi and the Nasiim. And then they had to step down so Hillel could take their job. And Hillel's criticizing the Bnei Beseira. You know why you lost the Nasius? Because you didn't serve Shmaya and Eftalion. Wait a second. But Shmaya and Eftalion were the Nasi and the Abezdin. No, it must be that when the Bnei Beseira were eligible to be the Nasiim, they immediately removed Shmaya and Eftalion. Why? Because they were Gerim. So then why did they occupy the position originally? Because at the time they were the most worthy. And then the Bnei Beseira were worthy. So then Shmaya and Eftalion had to step down. In other words, what the Rashbatz is saying is that it's not an absolute prohibition for a Ger to occupy the position of Nasi and Abez. It's only if nobody else is more qualified. If anyone else is qualified, then of course they will occupy the position. That Shmaya and Eftalion only occupied the position so long as there was no one else who was qualified. Which is interesting because they're telling the Bnei Beseira the reason why you're losing the job is you didn't serve Shmaya and Eftalion. And the Gemara calls Shmaya and Eftalion two Gedoyle Hadar. If you look at number 13, the Gemara says, Amar Lahen Hillel says, Migaram Lachem She'ela mi Bavel. What caused that I should come up from Bavel? Ve'eya Nasi Alechem be the Nasi. Atzlus, your laziness, Shehoise Lachem. Shaloi Shimashtem Shnei Gedoyle Adar. You didn't serve two Gedoyle Adar. Shmai Avtah. That means Shmai and Avtah were the Gedoyle Adar. They were the greatest in the generation, but they still had to step down from being the Nasi and the Abezdin. Why? Because there were other people who were eligible. Meaning, it's true, a Ger cannot occupy the position of Nasi Na'abezin if anyone is eligible, even if they're even slightly less eligible. So long as the Bnei Beseira were eligible, Shmaya and Eftalion had to step down. When the Bnei Beseira weren't there, Shmaya and Eftalion were the Nasi. By the way, the Rashbat says, this is very logical, like the Gemara throughout Shas we find, that even a Goy who knows Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. Or a Ger Tzedek would Yikara hi mipninim, someone who learns Torah is even more precious than the Kohen Gadol who enters Lefnai v'Lefnim. Now, by the way, look at number 11, the Riva. The Riva is one of the Balei HaToisus. In Parshas Mishpatim, he asks, why do I need a pasuk to exclude a Goy from judging? But the halacha is, even a Ger can't judge. Even Gerim can't judge. So why do I need a pasuk? Lefnehem v'loy lefnei akum. I need a pasuk lefnehem v'loy lefnei akum. You can't even allow a Ger to judge. Answers Riva, a Ger's disqualification is only if you have a Jew who could do the same job. But if there's no other Jew, you're allowed to appoint Gerim, like Shmaya v'Avtalion. And when I need a pasuk, that even if no Jew could do it, you can never appoint a Gentile. So this is a very interesting approach to defend the Rambam from the question of the Maral. The Maral says, anyone who maintains that Shmaya and Eftalion were Gerim are in error. because otherwise how could they be the Nasi and the Abez then? To which the Rashbat says and the Riva says that even though they were, even if they were Gerim, they could have been the Nasi and the Abez because there was no one who was more worthy. Now we come to a very interesting Gemara in Saita. There was a man by the name of Agrippas HaMelech. You ever hear of Agrippas? Who? He was what?
Street.
Agrippas. You heard of the street. He just spent 6 weeks in Israel. You know, he memorized every street. Yeah, I'm going to give you a test, you know. He knows every street in... basically, Waze is asking him questions now. Google Maps, you know. Agrippas. Agrippas was a king from the Hashmonaim. But at a certain point of time, the Hashmonaim were killed out. Herod killed out the Hashmonaim. And actually, Herod either was representative of many of the powerful kings, first Herod and then Agrippas, and some say Herod was Agrippas' father. For this year, we're going to assume Herod was the father of Agrippas, okay? And Agrippas, presumably, at least according to Rashi, his mother was Jewish. So his father was Herod, and his mother was Jewish. And Agrippas was, one day, he was reading from the Sefer Torah. And actually, when they gave him the Torah, he stood up, and the rabbis praised him for standing up for the Sefer Torah. And he got up to the pasuk in this week's parsha. You know, you never know parsha shoftim. You never know who the Baal Koreh might be. It might be Agrippas, and he was the Baal Koreh for parsha shoftim. And he got up to the pasuk. So im tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem alekecha boi mikarev achecha. And Agrippas is shaking. The pasuk says, you need to appoint a king from among your brethren. You cannot make a foreigner your king if he's not your brother. And Agrippas is thinking to himself, I'm the king, and I'm not from their brethren. So the Mishnah says, Zolgu ain of demois. His eyes started streaming with tears. Here he's reading, he's the Baal Koreh, and he's reading, you can't appoint a king unless he's a brethren of the Jewish people. And the Jews said, Al tisyori Agrippas, don't worry, achinu ata, you're our brother. Don't worry. Says Rashi, why? She'imai mi Yisrael. His mother was Jewish. Says the Gemara, Daf Mem Alef Amud Beis, when the Jewish people said, don't worry, you're our brother, we were liable to be utterly decimated because we flattered Agrippas' brother. He's not our brother. The Jewish people were worthy to be destroyed when we said to Agrippas, you're our brother. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now, according to Rashi, Agrippas' mother was Jewish. So asks Tosfos, why would the Jewish people liable to be destroyed because they flattered Agrippas by saying, you're our brother? Why were they punished? He was their brother. His mother was Jewish. His mother, I mean, that's the Gemara in Yevamos, remember? Rav Mari Bar Rachel appointed, Rava appointed Rav Mari Bar Rachel. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? His father's a guy. And the Gemara answered, his mother was Jewish. If your mother's Jewish, you could be appointed to a position of power. So what did the Jews do wrong when Agrippas cried, when he got up to the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim? But the Gemara in Yevamos says, exactly this point, if your mother is Jewish, you are our brother. So Tosfos asks, wait a second. But the halacha is, midrabanon, you can't appoint a king unless he's a guy who could marry into the kahuna. And this guy, Agrippas, his father is a guy, from his family you can't marry into kahuna. So midrabanon, he would be disqualified to be a king. Tosfos says, Hashem would never destroy Kali Yisrael would not be worthy of destruction for only an Isser D'Rabbanan. So it can't be because now, by the way, it's very interesting. From this Tosis, the Shagas Aryeh proves that Birchas HaTorah is D'Oraisa. Why? Because the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, in Adarim, that why was the second Mason Mikdash destroyed? Because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Says the Shagas Aryeh, that's a Raya, Birchas HaTorah is D'Oraisa. Because the Birchas HaTorah would be D'Rabbanan, Tosis says, we would never be liable to utter destruction just because of Nisar D'Rabbanan. That's one of the rayas of the Shagas Aryeh. Ayin b'Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah brings the same raya. The Mishnah Berurah says in his conversation, in his discussion about Birchas HaTorah, he says it's D'Oraisa, and he says, and the Jewish people were worthy to be, Eretz Yisrael was destroyed because we didn't say Birchas HaTorah. What's the Mishnah Berurah getting at? He's trying to prove Birchas HaTorah is D'Oraisa. Because if it was D'Rabbanan, it wouldn't have been. He's bringing the Shagas Aryeh's proof, but he doesn't explain what his proof is. The Mishnah Berurah expects you to know the Shagas Aryeh's proof from this Tosfos, because if it was D'Rabbanan, we never would have been worthy to be destroyed. It's amazing Ha'ara in the Mishnah Berurah, by the way. Anyway, so Tosfos asks, why were Kali so worthy to be destroyed? Because they flattered Agrifas. It wasn't flattery. According to the Gemara Yevamos, he was their brother. His mother was Jewish. Therefore, Tosfos argues on Rashi. Tosfos says, listen to this. Who was Agrifas' father?
Herod.
Did Herod repent after he destroyed the temple? He did. And he rebuilt it. A guy's repentance means he would never marry a Jew. A good guy wouldn't marry a Jew. You never think that way. You think a good guy, you know, he wants to marry a Jew. No. Since Herod repented, he must have married a guy and not a Jew. Isn't that interesting? Because not only can a Jew not marry a Gentile is not going to marry a Jew. Since Tosfos says, listen to this. Tosfos says, "Va'omer Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Hordis Leinasa Bas Yisrael. Why? How do we know Hordis didn't marry a Jew? She'asa tshuva, he repented. To be a good akum means you don't marry a Haimish Jew. You know, when the akum has, when the Masadr Kedushin speaks to the akum, and he sits down to give a chasen shmuz to the akum, he says, I just want to check. Did you know who the kala is? He said, yeah." He says, what's her name? Janet. Okay. You sure she's not Jewish? You know? Make a good Masadr Kedushin by Goyim, they make sure that the Kala is Mamish pedigree, has good Gentile pedigree. Otherwise, they can't marry her. Anyway, but that's Tosfos. But Rashi says Agrippas's mother was Jewish. So, according. Basically, we don't have an answer for Rashi. Tosfos attacks Rashi. Rashi says that Agrippas' mother was Jewish. Ask Tosfos, so then why were we punished for flattering Agrippas? It's not flattery. He was Achinu, he was our brother. So Tosfos says, I disagree with Rashi. Herod married a Gentile. But Rashi says he married a Jew.
But how do you get an Aliyah back?
If what?
Why is he's not Jewish.
Why did he get an aliyah? He didn't get an aliyah. He was the Baal Koireh. He was the Baal Koireh. Stop, they always put up Baalei Kriya, and they can't read. They don't know what a Tipcha is. They don't know what a Tlisha Gedoyla. They wouldn't know the difference between Tlisha Gedoyla and Tlisha Gedoyla if hit them over the head. Okay, so they put it, once they put up a guy. You mean, why is he reading the Torah? He's not even Jewish. There's no Isser. I mean, they weren't Yotze, the Parsha. Yeah, good question. What kind of buck? Listen, I have to get a Balkari every week. You reminded me now. I don't have a Balkari yet for Shoftim. Never have I asked the guy, are you Jewish? I never had, you know, maybe now I got to do it. I got to check. I have to make sure. You know? Okay. So, the Rashbats and the Rashba and the Nemukei Yosef say like this. Rava, the din is, As long as your mother is Jewish, you could be appointed to position. You could be a president of the shul. You could be the gabbai. You could be the gabbai sheni. You could be the gabbai shlishi. You could be the vice president. You could be the candy man. As long as your mother is Jewish. If your mother is Jewish, you could be appointed to position of authority. So in what way did the Jewish people flatter Agrippas? Say these Rishonim, but you can't be the Melech. To be the Melech, your father also has to be Jewish. It's not enough for your mother to be Jewish. Your father has to be Jewish. That's how they answer up the opinion of Rashi. The Rashba, quoted by the Karan Oira, then Mukhe Yosef, they say to be a melech in Eretz Yisrael, you need not only your mother to be Jewish, that's why the Pasuk says, Mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. So why does it repeat, lo yisucha losei solecha ish nachri, asher lo yachichahu. So from the fact that it says, don't appoint a nachri, it means your mother has to be Jewish. What does it mean, Mikerev achecha? It has to be brotherhood, even mitzah the father. That's malchus, proper. Other positions of authority you only need from the mother. Now let's try to so we have a machlokes. Who was Shmai and Avtalion? The Rambam and the Bar Tanura say they were Gerim. The Maral rejects that. The Toz Yamdav rejects that. Otherwise how could it be the Nasi and the Avbezin? And the Rashbat says, because in a situation where there's nobody more worthy, you could appoint Gerim as a Nasi and Avesen. The Rashbats then tries to uncover the meaning of the name Avtalyoin. Avtalyoin. Avtalyoin, or Abtalyoin. It sounds like Bittol, like we're nullifying him. And he says, Talyoin is a lashon of children, like Talya, Ketanim. We always say throughout Shas that Bezdin is like the father of the minors. You know, if you have minors and there's nobody representing them or who's able to make acquisition for them, Bezdin could do things on their behalf. So Avtalion is a lashon of, he's the father of Ketanim, of Ketanim. You know, I thought perhaps you could say that the Rashbats who holds that the reason why Shmaya and Avtalion were able to be the Nasi and the Avbezin is because there was literally nobody more worthy than them. Maybe the name Avtalion denotes Avtalion. He was the father of smaller people, of Ketanim, meaning relative to Avtalion, everyone else was much smaller. That's how he got the position in the first place. Maybe that's the name given to him to explain how he was able to occupy that position. He's Av to those who are Ketanim Imenu. But let's come back to the Gemara in Yuma. If you remember, the Gemara in Yuma said one time the Kohen Gadol was walking out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, everybody started following him, and then all of a sudden Shmaya and Avtalion are walking down the street, and they said to the Kohen Gadol, could we abandon you, Mr. Kohen Gadol? We want to walk with Shmaya and Avtalion. So the Kohen Gadol said, yeah, go to those Goyim, you know, go. And Shmaya and Avtalion said back, better that they go with Goyim who act like Aaron HaKohen, then they go to the Kohen Gadol who doesn't act like Aaron HaKohen.
That wasn't a very flattering statement.
The Kohen Gadol, no, that was quite not a nice comment that the Kohen Gadol made, go to those Goyim, because at the worst they were Gerim, and according to some they just came from Gerim. What does Shmaya say in Pirkei Avos? Shmaya says, Ehoy v'samalacha, love work, hate authority, and don't be friends with the government. So there's a very interesting sefer, Galgal HaChaim, that Rabbi Isaac got from me many years ago, and he brings from the Arizal in the Shar HaGagulam, that who exactly are Shmai and Avtalion? They were both the Gilgal of Zechariah HaKohen. Zechariah, not Zechariah HaNavi, Zechariah HaKohen, who, if you remember, was killed on Yom Kippur by the Jewish people. Zechariah was the first, here's a very interesting, Zechariah was the first victim of terrorism. Zechariah, the problem was that the terrorists were his own brethren. If you go today near Yad Avshalom, you know there's a massive monument right near Yad Avshalom. It's the monument of Zechariah. Right behind the monument in a corner is the first victim of terror in Israel. And buried right next to Zechariah, not Hanavi, Zechariah Kohen. Zechariah Hanavi is buried in a cave on Har HaZeisim. Chagai, Zechariah Malachi. This is Zechariah Kohen. Who is Zechariah HaKohen? Zechariah conducted himself with a lot of authority. He was the son-in-law of the king. He was a Kohen Gadol. And he was a little bit arrogant. And Chazal say he rebuked the people with a little bit of, with arrogance. He spoke down to the people, and he gave them great mussar on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. And Yoyash HaMelech got so angry, and he had him killed. And everybody stoned him in the Beis Hamikdash. And the Jewish people suffered for many generations. If you remember, Nevuzradan killed hundreds of thousands of Jews to rest the boiling blood of Zechariah HaKohen. He killed literally hundreds of thousands of Jews. Shemaya is the Gilgal of the Ruach of Zechariah, and he came to rectify his improper behavior first time around, and therefore he said the Rav, the teacher, should love the service of the Rabbanus, meaning helping the people, but hate the authority aspect of the Rabbanus. Ehoives hamalacha, love the job, the helping of the tzibur, but not the authority of the Rabbanus. Because look what happened when somebody got too carried away with the authority of it. That's Shemaya. Shemaya, even some even say Shemaya and Zechariah, sounds a little bit similar. Avtalyon was the Gilgal of the Nefesh of Zechariah. And therefore, in his teaching, Avtalion says, Chachamim hizaharu bedivreichem. Sages, be careful with your words. Remember what happened in my last round when I spoke too harshly? Rabbis, be careful how you speak. If you need to rebuke, do it with a degree of gentleness, but don't lambast in such a harsh way where they're going to rebel. So Shemaya was the Gilgal of the Ruach of Zechariah, and Avtalion was the Gilgal of the Nefesh of Zechariah, and that's the why these two people are like a tandem. Shemaya and Avtalion were a tandem because they both were, in some way, sparks of the earlier Zechariah Hanavi. So the Sefer suggests that this would explain the account in the Gemara in Yuma of when everyone was following the Kohen Gadol, and then they saw Shemaya Avtalion, they started following Shemaya and Avtalion, and when the Kohen Gadol said, yeah, go to that guy, they said, the Kohen Gadol is being harsh with his words. Alert, alert, alert. The Kohen Gadol is being harsh with his words. We know, we remember they were both the Kohen Gadol, and they remember the disastrous repercussions of if the Kohen Gadol speaks harshly. So they said, you know, you need to calm down. Better that they go to us, who we come from converts, at least we're acting like Aaron HaKohen, than to go to you, who's forsaking the important dimension of the Kohen Gadol of to emulate the ways of Aaron HaKohen. So anyway, these are some of the history, the background of Shemaya Avtalion, as well as the mystical source of the souls of Shemaya and Avtalion. Today, they're buried in Gush Chalav, and apparently the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital endeavored to go to their Tzion, and we even have a record of what the Arizal taught in the Makom Kvura of Shemaya Avtalion. Zechusam Yagen Aleinu. Have a great night, everyone. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Shkaya.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.